Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, I'm Maggie McKay. There's a new exhibit at the Annenberg Space for Photography in Century City. It's called Walls, Defend, Divide, and the Divine. And I spoke with Dr. Jen Soodle Edwards, Chief Curator and Curator of Contemporary Art at the Mint Museum in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the guest curator of this show at the Annenberg Space. She tells us the genesis of the project. Jen, where did the idea for this exhibit start?
The idea for the exhibition actually came from Katie Hollander, who is the director of the Annenberg Space for Photography. Katie and I have been friends for 25 years now, friends and colleagues, and she and I talk about our various ideas for our respective workplaces all the time. It's the basis of our friendship. And she came to me about 2 years ago and she said that she was thinking a lot about doing a show around the subject of walls because she was thinking about the fact that the 30th anniversary of the Berlin Wall coming down was about to hit in 2019. And that while we were gearing up for that celebration, we were also in the middle of all of this political rhetoric around building a wall to separate the U.S. from Mexico and the wall that was going up to separate the EU from England, in Calais, and all these walls that were going up all over Europe and all over the Middle East and all through Africa. And it seemed like we were simultaneously remembering that joy and that miraculous recognition that walls dividing people were inherently divisive and problematic and inhumane with the celebration of the Berlin Wall coming down. And yet at the same time, we were watching all of these other walls go up around the world and urging our governments to build them. And how just completely confusing and flummoxing it was that we had this weird tension from those two examples. And so she said, does this sound like it could be an exhibition? Do you think there is enough visual material that could make this a compelling exhibition, but also capture all of the provocative and thoughtful issues that arise when you look at those two polar facts? The idea was hers, and then she handed it over to me to create the visual story that you see in the exhibition.
How many different photographers are involved in this? Because the other night at the preview, a lot of the photographers from the documentary were actually there, which I thought was so cool. That was so fun to be able to meet some of them.
That's probably one of the reasons why I know Kat was trying to get us to meet, but I was overwhelmed by how many people came. It was not just those in the documentary, but also Alan Miyataki, Toyo Miyataki's grandson, and he is the photographer who photographed the Manzanar internment camp.
Wow.
He was an interned American in that camp as well. Not Alan, his grandfather was. So he was there and he was telling me his stories about the photographs, and then Bashoy Fayez, who is Egyptian photographer who documented the Egyptian revolution and the graffiti that came out of that movement.
Wow.
He came to the opening and
That's
it was just
cool.
Amazing to finally talk to him after all of our email exchanges. And
how many photographers were involved in this?
It's over 70. And to be honest with you, we don't have a definitive number because mm-hmm. there were so many, like we have archaeological footage.
True.
And there isn't necessarily one photographer.
Yeah. Were they commissioned to do it? How did it work?
We had two commissions. So one commission was from Moises Salmon, who went to Belfast to document the peace walls there and to talk to members of that city about how those walls divided or maintained peace between the Irish Catholics and the Protestant British Royalists. And so that was one commission. And then the other was from Shan Wallace, who is a a Baltimore photographer. She went to Detroit to document the wall in the 8 Mile neighborhood of Detroit. It's a physical manifestation of the practice of redlining.
I was so relieved when I was watching the documentary to know that I wasn't the only one who had never heard of the wall in Detroit. Even the person...
Yeah, we hadn't heard of it either.
Okay, see?
Like, redlining was on our list of topics to include in the invisible wall section because that's a particularly challenging story that Katie and I wanted to make sure was included. It's something that has defined our socioeconomic divisions in this country for African Americans and for, you know, Black and brown people around the country for the last hundred years. It's something a lot of people don't talk about or don't even know about.
Right. How is it that so many of us don't know about that Detroit wall?
Well, as Shan says in the documentary, a lot of the people in the neighborhood didn't even know about the wall. Most of the people she talked to didn't know about the wall. I think because, you know what, honestly, Maggie, I don't know. Maybe it's because we assume people behave well.
Yeah.
We have a very optimistic view of humanity, and we wouldn't think that governments and banks make a practice of not empowering people to own homes just because of their race. And so we just never question why it's harder for some people to get homeowner loans than others. But in fact, this was a systematic practice by banks and by the federal government in some of the 1960s to, you know, not allow affordable homeownership loans to go to people of color. And that wall in Detroit was put up because this was a neighborhood where working class whites needed to be able to buy homes so that they could work in the automobile industry in Detroit. And so a deal was made that this wall would go up and it would delineate where the African-American community would be and where the white community would be. And it allowed the banks to clearly identify where that ownership would happen.
I mean, the discussion's already out there, the conversation about the wall and all that. What do you hope people will get from this after they see it?
I think we all hope, even though I am speaking for myself, but I think we do hope that people come in with a very open and thoughtful temperance to consider a historic use of walls, not only in this country, but throughout the world and throughout time. And we really tried to set up the approach to the exhibition to make sure that people were open and receptive to considering all of these different examples. It starts with Light the Barricades, the public art project by Candy Chang and James Reeves, which are three light boxes, each with a different word on it: resentment, judgment, and doubt are the three walls. Now, these are three emotional experiences all of us have had at some point. And we usually connote negative energy with those experiences. But in fact, what we all hope people gain from this artwork is that, you know, negative things happen to us all the time. Barriers are erected all the time. And they start with those emotional internal barriers that we find that they occur in our lives, or we erect them ourselves in some defensive posture. But in fact, if we just take a moment to be quiet and thoughtful and think about why we are having the reaction that we are, we can either avoid those kinds of emotional barricades that we put up, or we can think about why they've been put up for us and figure out some way that we can overcome them just by assuming them or absorbing them into our lives. And this is coming out of the I Ching practice, which is this Eastern philosophical practice that Candy and James are very interested in. And we're hoping that that sets the tone for that. All of these physical barriers that you see represented in the exhibition and that we see going up around the world, those are all done by human beings who are reacting to some anxiety or some perceived threat external to themselves. And they're erecting these barriers for a reason. So what if we think about what those external threats really are? Is putting up a barrier really the solution? Are there other ways that we can actually deal with the problem that are more effective and more communal and more satisfying? And also, how do those barriers actually work? Are they successful? So often, the barriers that we see in the exhibition either are co-opted by the societies that they're meant to control or define, or they disappear, whether it's through time, or it's to take them down, or it's through that decision by the society that they're defining that they, in fact, are not working, as in the case of the Berlin Wall.
Is the show going to travel? Is there a next stop for it yet?
I don't know. To be honest with you, we're so happy that it's completed. That we haven't even
gotten that far
yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So I think the Annenberg is considering their options, but right now, we're just focusing on making sure that the show opens as strong as it has, and we're very proud of that, but also to make sure that we continue to get the word out and get the audiences in and keep that message of, you know, thoughtful consideration that we want people to have when they approach it.
Well, people have till the end of the year to see it. Ample parking. There's no excuse to miss it, right, Jen?
And it's free.
Right.
I mean, the Annenberg Space for Photography is always free to the public. Which is, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I loved that space when I lived in Los Angeles. It was really remarkable that not only was there a dedicated space to photography, and particularly the fact that they so often do shows that explore how this artistic medium, photography, is specifically so powerful to examine the human condition.
Right.
But it also welcomes people from all socioeconomic backgrounds because the space is free. And it's rare that you find cultural institutions that are that open. There's discounted parking.
And there's parking, period. I'd pay anything just to have parking.
Thank you.
Thank you for putting it together. I think you did it beautifully.
We're really proud of it.
Jen said it was an incredible amount of work, but they felt like they were doing the right thing. They certainly have a powerful, moving end result. The exhibit Walls, Defend, Divide, and the Divine runs through December 29th. Thanks for listening. I'm Maggie McKay.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.